Hello, and welcome to our online Bible class lesson. Let's start today by praying to the Lord God and asking Him to bless us during this time we have together. Let's pray. Almighty God, Lord, we do thank Thee for this opportunity that we have to spend a short while studying Thy Word, to learn more of Thee and to learn more of Thy ways. How we pray, Lord, that You'd give us understanding of Thee. Thou art the great God, the mighty God, the all-knowing God. Lord, we are limited in our knowledge. We do not know what will happen from this day to the next. And Lord, that gives us confidence to know that we can approach You because Thou dost know everything. Help us, Lord, to place our lives into Thy hand. Help us, Lord, not to trust in ourselves, but help us to believe Thy word and the truth of Thy word. Help us, Lord, to turn away from our sins and to turn away from the things of this world that promise great things and cannot give us anything that is worthwhile. Lord God, how we pray that You would so move in our hearts that as we turn away from the world, we may look to You, we may trust the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Saviour. Lord, as we also think about Thy mercies and Thy great provisions for us, we give thanks, Lord, that Thou hast looked after us even till now. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt continue to show Thy mercy towards us. Lord, we do not deserve any of Thy mercies, but we thank You, Lord, that You do cause the sun to shine upon us and the rain to fall, even though because of our sins, we do not have any right to any of these benefits. O Lord, we pray that You would give us open ears now to hear Thy word, but not just that we should hear them. We pray, Lord, that You'd also send Thy Spirit to work in our hearts, that we may receive Thy words with gladness and that we may respond in the right way. We ask all these things in the name of the dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you may realise that we've just started a new series in the Gospel of Mark, and we're now looking at the gains and losses of following the Lord Jesus Christ. So our reading today is taken from Mark and chapter 1. If you've got a Bible, you can look this up. Mark chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading from verse 14. So reading from Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Today in our lesson, I hope to answer a very basic question, and it's this: how exactly does someone become a Christian? Even though this question is basic, it's still a very important question, and it's important that we get the right answer. And it's important to go to the place where we find all truth, and that's in the Word of God. In our reading from Mark, we saw how the Lord Jesus Christ was going around the Sea of Galilee, and he was inviting people, he was calling them to enter into his kingdom. "Repent," he said, "and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He was telling the people, "Now is the time to enter my kingdom." So if we really want to know how to become a Christian, how to enter God's kingdom, then it will be good for us to study what exactly was the Lord Jesus Christ calling these people to. How was he calling them into his kingdom? What did he expect from them? And as we learn these things, we'll see what God expects from us today. Because the call he made to those people in Galilee still stands today. He makes the same call to each of us even today where we are. In the passage, we have a very good example of how four men responded to the call of God, how they turned to him and followed him. These men were Andrew and Simon, who was later called Peter, and James and John. Of course, they became the closest disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do they enter his kingdom? How do they become Christians? Well, let's have a close look at the passage and we can learn from their call and how they responded. The first lesson is a really obvious one, but sometimes I think it's so obvious that people don't even realise that they've made a mistake. If I were to ask you, what sort of person can become a Christian? I hope you'd all say, anybody can, which is quite true. Yet somehow, despite knowing in our head that anybody can become a Christian, we still have some misconceptions about the sort of people who really do become Christians. We think Christians are the gentle sort. They're the sort of people who are always calm, who never get angry, never respond in a bad way. We think that the Christian life is a very simple kind of lifestyle, not complicated. They don't have many difficulties. They don't get into trouble. And as we have these ideas within our head, we may begin to exclude ourselves and say, well, I'm not that kind of person. I do have a bad temper. My life is complicated. I've got all sorts of issues in my life that Christians don't deal with. And you begin to think, well, maybe I'm not the sort of person who can be a Christian. Well, that's a mistake. It's true, Christians are gentle and they are kind. And sometimes their lives do seem very simple. But that's often because they are Christians. They have become Christians. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they started out like that. But what about the fishermen, these men, Andrew, Simon, James and John? What sort of background were they from? Were they genteel? Were they men who had very straightforward lifestyles, uncomplicated, no problems, very calm in their personalities? But what sort of people were they? First of all, we've got to remember these men were tough men. They were hardened men. They were men whose jobs meant that they had to be physically, mentally and emotionally strong. Perhaps if you'd met them, you wouldn't have seen them as the gentle sort. Now, where we live, it's not by the sea, so you may not know any fishermen, but perhaps think about builders that you know. Men who have to work outdoors with their hands, manual work, in all weathers. The life of a fisherman was not genteel, and especially at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, in those days, there were no engines in order to help drive the ships. There was no machinery that could help them with the putting up of the sails and the taking up of the anchor. Everything was done by hand. So their life was a very hard kind of life of manual labour. Also, you've got to remember that these men were not easily scared. Sometimes people think that those who come to Christ become Christians because they're scared of something. You know, they're scared of going to hell or they're scared of other things in life and that's why they come to Christ. Well, these men certainly weren't easily scared. They would have to go out into the Sea of Galilee, which at times could look very beautiful and tranquil, but so quickly the sea could change. It was well known for great storms to arise suddenly. And these men were not the sort of men who would have been afraid. They also were businessmen who had to take care of their families. Nowadays, in our society, if your business fails or you're unwell or something else happens and you're not able to earn money, well, you may be able to get a bit of money from the government to support you, a state benefit. But at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, these fishermen had to work every day. They couldn't take time off. If they took time off, then their families would starve. They needed the fish. They needed the income. And sometimes they would work all day to try and catch fish and they caught no fish. What would they do? Would they go home and say, oh, well, never mind, we'll try again tomorrow? No, they couldn't. They'd have to go back out and fish all night in order to catch fish because they knew if they didn't bring the fish home, there'll be no food for their families. There was no benefits, no support for them. So these men were extremely hardworking. Their lives were hard lives, difficult lives. They had many worries. And yet, these were the sort of men whom the Lord Jesus Christ called and who responded to that call. So that's the first lesson. We're never to think that only certain kinds of people can become Christians, that the Lord Jesus Christ will only call certain people who maybe have a nice personality or very gentle in their character, because that's not at all true. The Lord God calls everyone. He calls you and he calls me. He calls us in our condition, whatever condition we find ourselves. He calls us, each one of us. None of us are excluded from that call. None of us can say, well, I'm not the sort of person who can become a Christian. Another lesson we learned from these fishermen was that to become a Christian, you have to have a respect for God. These fishermen looked around them. They could see the great power of the wind and the sea. And they knew there must be a God who had created these things. They could see the stars at night. And they learnt the course, the patterns of the stars. And they knew that the God who created them must be a God of great order, of great understanding and wisdom. If someone had come to speak to this fisherman and to try and convince them that there was no God, they would have just laughed. They would have told them that we have seen these things, and there's no way that these things could have just come by chance. There is a God. And that's the second thing, really. If you want to become a Christian, you must have a great respect for God. You must have a fear of God. In the Bible, it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And when we talk about the fear of God, we're not meaning the petrified, absolutely scared out of our head fear of God, but we're meaning a great respect for God and great awe for who he is, knowing that he is our creator, he has made us, he has made this world, and that we're accountable to him. And the third lesson about becoming a Christian is that if we're going to become a Christian, then we have to face up to the fact that we are sinners. I wonder if there's anyone listening now who is in denial of this, who doesn't really believe that they're sinful. Well, you'll never become a true Christian until you face up to the fact that, yes, you are sinful, and yes, you do need the forgiveness of God. We know that these men had been considering seriously their sin because we're told that they had been listening to John the Baptist. John the Baptist had come before Christ came, and he had warned the people that Christ was coming, Messiah was coming, and the people must repent of their sins. And many people were going to him to be baptized. And these men, they had gone to John the Baptist and they'd listened, they'd made the time to listen to what he had to say. And they knew that they were sinful men and they needed forgiveness of their sins. If you want to become a Christian, then it's the same attitude we need to have. We need to be able to face up to the fact that we have personally committed sins. Not someone else out there has committed sins, but I have committed sins. We really need to face up to the fact that we are sinful and we need a saviour. And the fourth lesson we can learn is that we must be willing to listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. So John the Baptist had told them that Christ was coming, and now when Christ appeared, John the Baptist told them, he said to them, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." The men, as I said, had faced up to their sins before, and now they were pointed to Christ, the one who would take away their sin. And so, of course, they were willing to listen. What about you? Are you willing to listen? Perhaps you already have a respect for God. You believe that God is calling you, and you know that you are sinful. Well, now you come to Bible class. What do you do? Do you come to Bible class and actually listen and ponder on the things that you hear? Or do you come to Bible class and let the words wash through your mind without truly taking them in, without truly trying to apply them, without truly taking any notice? It's important to listen to what Christ was saying. So what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He said, "Repent and believe the gospel." Repentance, that means sorrow for our sins, turning away from our sinful ways. Our repentance should be towards God. We need to be sorry for all the ways in which we have offended against him. So we need repentance, but we also need to believe. Believe the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to pay the price of our sins, to bear the punishment of our sins on our behalf, we need to believe that and trust in him, as well as repentance and faith, where we must also be obedient to the call of God. We must respond in the right way when the Lord Jesus Christ calls us. So these men, these fishermen, had been listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, but then one day there came a personal call. The Lord Jesus Christ came to find them and to call them while they were busy fishing and mending their nets. And he said, "Leave your nets, follow me." In the Bible, it says, straight away they forsook their nets and followed him. It makes it sound so easy. What the Lord Jesus Christ was asking them would seem like such a big thing to them. We've already discussed how important their fishing was to the livelihood of their families. But you know, this whole series is about counting the cost and the gains of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Some young people will hear about the way of salvation and will gladly say, "Yes, I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ." Then they begin to realize that there are some costs and they begin to go backwards, back into the world. They hadn't considered what it might cost them to become a Christian. But I hope that as we consider what it cost these men, these fishermen, to follow Christ, you begin to see that whatever costs there are in becoming a Christian are nothing, are absolutely minuscule when compared to the great gains that are to be had in following Christ. Let's look at what it cost these men to follow Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ asked them to leave their fishing and to follow him and to become fishers of men. Like most people, they had plans for their life of maybe improving their business, getting more money, expanding their work, perhaps getting other ships. But all of this would have to stop. This was a really big step. They would have to leave the way of life they'd been used to. So many years they'd been fishermen. And now they'd have to give all this up and lose some independence as well in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They began to think and realize, well, this was what it means. No longer being the boss of their own lives, but they would have to accept orders from him and make him the lead in their life. But on the other hand, imagine how great the privilege was to have been called by the Son of God to follow him, to help him. The Lord Jesus Christ was calling them to a new work. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Have you ever thought how when the Lord Jesus called them to become fishers of men, they might have wondered, well, how many hours does it take to work as fishers of men? Will we get paid? What would happen to us and our families? It's likely that they had many questions. And it wouldn't be a surprise if you too had questions, many questions about, well, what would it be like to be a Christian? What does it mean to give up my life and to follow God's orders and to have guidance from God? Will I be able to do the job that I want to do? Will I be able to get married? Will I be able to have a family? Well, to become a Christian, we should take the example of the disciples. When they were called to follow Christ, they obeyed, trusting him, trusting that he would do all things well. And that should be our response too. When we repent of our sins, we must also have faith in God. We must trust him and trust our lives to him. Once the disciples trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told that they left their nets straight away. These men had to trust that the Lord Jesus Christ would now care for them. They couldn't trust in themselves and their fishing abilities, but they had to be willing to follow what Christ would say. And no child who's going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to seek salvation and a new life, should underestimate the fact that they do have to give up their old life. You cannot continue with your old life if you're going to follow Christ. Christ will have a different plan for your life. If any of you have considered following Christ, have you given much thought to this? Because when we become a Christian, what we are saying is that we're willing for the Lord Jesus Christ to be the ruler of our life. We're not going to keep any secret plans of what we're going to do in the future, but in all things, we're going to bring them before the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him what we should do. We have to learn to trust him that he will plan our lives the right way and not keep thinking that we know what's best for us. Well, in the Bible, it's quite clear that these men did not hesitate. They knew what it would cost, but we're told they left their nets straight away and they followed him. Everything else in their life did not seem so important anymore. The most important thing was to obey God's call. They weren't going to wait maybe for a day or a week and decide later, but no, straight away they were going to follow. If we want to know how to become a Christian, well, that's the attitude that a person who wants to be a Christian must have. You must be ready to leave everything and to follow Christ. You know, when I first heard the gospel, I thought to myself, this is wonderful. I think I should like to become a Christian, and I shall become a Christian when I'm much older. You may imagine, perhaps like I did, that you've got far more important things to do today, and you could leave off turning to Christ much later on in life. But this is completely the wrong attitude. The Lord God had to make me see that I couldn't put these things off, that these things were urgent and important. And if you want to become a Christian, then you must have that attitude that I must come now. I cannot delay. The Lord God is calling me. Why should I delay? No, we must have that attitude that we must come immediately. And everything else should be put at a lower priority. God must come first. Following the Lord Jesus Christ meant to the disciples giving up everything. Now, in Mark's gospel later on in chapter 10, Peter says this, "We have left all and have followed thee." That's what he says to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to spend periods of times away from home. They left their homes in order to follow Christ. And also the Lord Jesus Christ sent them away on missionary journeys. They also had to leave behind their self-respect even. Although they were doing the right thing in following the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they had the suspicion of the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees constantly looking at them and accusing them. Well, what would you have to give up in order to follow the Lord Jesus? If you want to become a Christian, surely you need to consider what it is you will have to give up. The first obvious thing is that you have to give up your sins. You cannot become a Christian and continue doing those things that are offensive against God. You must want to get rid of your sins. You must want to change your life. It's also likely to cost you your time. As a Christian, you must be willing to give up time for the Lord's service. The Lord's people have work to do. They do not count their gifts and possessions as their own, but they count everything as being from God, and they're willing to give these things up for his service. Perhaps you've got certain plans in your life. I certainly did before I became a Christian. And even though some of these plans before seemed sensible, now I look back, I realise that some of the things I planned to do were wrong and actually very sinful. But it's true, not all plans are sinful. Perhaps you've got some good plans, and yet the Lord may ask you, for good reason, to leave these plans and to follow a different plan. Are you willing to do that? Have you made plans for your life? Well, now is the time, if you want to seek the Lord, is the time to seek God's guidance about these plans and to ask him which way you should go. You cannot be a Christian and have your own secret plans without God's guidance and without his blessing. Even consider the things that you do in your spare time. What do you do on a Saturday? Or in the evenings after school? What do you do in your spare time? I know many young people are involved in sports, various different sports, but often this means that they cannot always be in church because they have to compete on a Sunday. Well, to follow God will mean giving up this. Are you willing to do that? Or perhaps you like going out with friends, and it's okay to go out with friends now and again, but Are you willing to put God first? You cannot fit God in around a busy social life. You can't put your social life first and think you can fit God in and fit in his worship and attending services when it's convenient for you. Well, this all might seem very gloomy and you begin to think this is all too much, losing so much. But then you must consider, what are the gains? What will you be gaining by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing the disciples gained was they escaped the disappointment that is found in this world. Let me use an illustration to show you what this might mean. If you can imagine a young lady, she's fallen in love with a man and she's told everyone about him. He seems perfect. He's very handsome. He's extremely rich and he seems very, very clever. And they're planning to get married. But then she discovers something really sad and tragic. He's already married. Not only that, but he's a criminal and he's known for his violence. She's very upset, but she decides to call off the wedding. Now, she may spend time thinking about what she's lost. This handsome man, this rich, clever man. But actually, it's not long before she discovers that she hasn't lost anything important. In fact, she's escaped from a life of unhappiness, of tragedy. She would have married him only to find that their wedding was illegal and that he would abandon her and mistreat her. But instead, she was able to find another man, a genuine person, and she was able to get married, and her life was much happier than it would have been. So she escaped the disappointment of marrying the wrong person. Well, this is just an illustration of what it might be for a Christian. On one hand, to feel that they're having to let go of the world, let go of their own ambitions, let go of their own decision-making, but only to look back and to discover that actually they'd escaped many unhappinesses, because that often is the way of this world. Things look good and they look attractive, and yet they end in unhappiness and tragedy. But it's not like that with God. When we turn away from this world, when we turn away from our own plans and follow him, there's no tragedy. There are no mistakes. The world seems so wonderful. And our hearts begin to tell us, oh, this is too great a sacrifice to give up the world in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not. And Peter, later on in the letter of Peter, said this: he had escaped the corruption that is in the world. He recognized that when he gave everything in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to become a fisher of men, at first it seemed hard, sometimes frightening. And tiring, the work was hard sometimes. And yet, when he looked back, he was able to say, now I see how much better it is to have known the Lord, to have walked with him, to have served him, rather than to remain in this world and to face the disappointments of this world and ultimately to have no Saviour. He did not regret at all having followed the Lord and given up his nets. You know, in following the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter and the other fishermen saw so many wonderful things. They witnessed firsthand the miracles of Christ. They heard the parables. Not only did they hear the parables, but whereas other people sometimes didn't understand the parables, the Lord Jesus Christ would spend time privately with the disciples, explaining to them the meaning of his parables, so they clearly understood all that God was saying. They even saw the glory of God, even here on earth, when the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured in front of them. They were amongst the first people to see the resurrection of God, to see Christ risen from the dead. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and they were able to write all these things down in letters, letters that we read even today, 2,000 years later, are here for us because they've written down the Word of God. These wonderful privileges are not to be compared with anything that they gave up. And if you really want to seek the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself, and you're considering all the things that you will have to give up, just remember this, that the blessings that come from following Christ are not to be compared with anything that we'll have to give up in this life in order to be a true disciple of the Lord. The Lord Jesus promised Peter that whatever he should leave on this earth, the Lord God would give him 100 times as much and eternal life. So, in summary, how does a person become a Christian? Well, first of all, we must have a respect for God, that he is our creator. We must face up to our sin, and we must be willing to listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say to us. We can't have our own ideas about how to come to him and what we must do, but we must be willing to listen to him, whether it's through reading his word or going where the Bible is preached faithfully. But also we must consider the losses of following the Lord Jesus Christ. If we truly want to become a Christian, then we must let go of this world, let go of our ambitions, let go of any idea that we should have the right to decide everything in our life, and we must be willing to allow God to guide us and be willing to follow him. If we would pray to God, truly repenting of our sins, meaning it with all our heart, willing to let go of all our sins and our own ways and trusting in him, then we can certainly be saved. God shall certainly hear our prayers and forgive us and cleanse us, and we shall know what it is to be a true Christian. But also, if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, although it may be a struggle at first, we may think, oh, this is so hard being a Christian, can I do it? But rather than think like this, we must think about the wonderful blessings that come to those who trust God, not just thinking about the things that we let go of. These things will pale into insignificance if we consider the great blessings of having God as our God, the blessings of worshipping him and serving him and having him take our lives and make them useful, and one day being able to go and to be with him forever in heaven. When we consider these things, then it makes it so much easier to respond to God's call. When God calls us, like he called to Peter and to Andrew and James and John, we'll find it just as easy to leave everything and to follow our Saviour. Our hymn for this lesson is hymn 437, if you have a hymn book. And the hymn really reminds us of how becoming a Christian is a happy thing. It's like a marriage. It describes when a bride chooses her groom and her joy in him. It talks about solemn vows, the promises that we make to our God to follow him. So let's read a few of the verses. O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. High heaven that heard the solemn vow, that vow renewed shall daily hear, till in life's latest hour I bow and bless in death a bond so dear. Isn't it wonderful that for a believer, every day it is a joy to renew those promises that they have made to the Lord God? And the greatest joy is when they shall go to be with him in heaven forever. Well, thank you again for coming to join us for this Bible class lesson. And we do indeed pray that the Lord would bless these things to you, that you would have a very clear understanding of how you may know the Lord for yourself. I would urge you to read the worksheet that accompanies this lesson, where it goes into further details about how to become a Christian, and also some of the wrong ideas people may have that you have to be careful to avoid. We hope that the Lord will greatly bless you in this week, especially as you read his word and spend time with him in devotions every day. And we hope that you'll join us again next week for another lesson. Until then, goodbye.